Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moving Faith with Reverend Green.
Reverend Green Covington is the Associate Pastor of the Warner Memorial Church of God in Ferndale, Michigan. She is here to take your calls regarding faith in today's society.
If you have any questions, call the toll-free number on your blog screen.
And without any further delay, here is Living Faith with Reverend Green.
Hi, and welcome to the Living Save Show. I am your host, Pastor Kareem. I want to talk with you just for a few minutes. I know the time is winding down, but let's find out how we can make the most of our new year. How we can make the most of our new year. Can you believe this year is over? It seems that with each passing year, time just speeds up. Wasn't it yesterday that we were worried about that Y2K bug? Well, we made it through the Y2K, and now we're faced with another new year. All we can do is one of two things this year, 2018. We can waste away by sitting around worrying about the things we failed to accomplish in 2018 or the mistakes we made throughout that year. We can sit around and mope or have a pity party because things didn't go the way we wanted them to. Or we can decide to make the most of this new year, the one that God is granting us. This could be the greatest year of our lives that we've had up to this point if we make a conscious decision to do whatever it takes to have a great year. The point I want to get across to you is this. Whatever we're going to do with our lives in 2018, we had better get a move on because time is moving on. It's not going to be any epiphany that's going to come about. Our time isn't going to sit still and wait until we make up our minds about what we're going to do. The one point that I want to make with you is, if we're not going to do something with our lives, it really doesn't matter how long the year is or how much time we have left in this year or any year for that matter. So what are you going to do with 2018? How will this year be any different than last year? That would be the one that's ending 2017. Would you like 2018 to be better than 2017? Last year was a rough year, or 2017 has been a rough year. It was a year of challenges, a year of choices. It was a year of changes. It was a year of crisis. The fact is, for some of us, 2017 was more of a disappointment than a joy. Some of you may have experienced a loss of some kind. For some of us, it may have been a year of setbacks and failures. The bad news is that there's nothing we can do to change this past year. The good news is that we can learn from 2017 and we have the opportunity to start over and make some changes. God brings life to us in small pieces that we know as hours, days, and months. At the beginning of every year, he says, let's wipe the slate clean and let's start with a brand new year. Actually, it's like God is actually saying that. Let's start over. And that's good news. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24. And as always, please read the whole chapter, but I want to key in on this 24th verse, and for time's sake, I'm only going to read that 24th verse, and I'm going to come from the Good News translation. And it says, An intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. For many, the last part of that verse describes them. It says, a fool starts off in many directions. Does that describe you? You start your year off in haste, going in too many different directions at one time with no plan of action. Beloved, we need a plan. If you didn't notice, the words at the beginning of this verse says, an intelligent person aims at wise actions. That means they have a goal, an object. An objective, an aim, a target. Have you set any goals for 2018, or are you just going to walk into the new year and hope it's better than the old year was? You're just going to fly by the seat of your pants. Beloved, you need to have a plan. I want to share with you four keys that will help each of us get the most out of the year 2018. Keys can be used to start something, or they can be used to open doors. And it's my prayer that these four keys will start us off on the right foot in the right direction. It's also my prayer that you will use these keys to open the doors of opportunity that God places before us. And for convenience sake, I'm just going to label these keys A, B, C, and D. Key A, accept responsibility for your life. This is something that's hard for many people to do. Some people would rather blame someone else for the problems and difficulties in their lives. There are the people who go around looking for someone to tell them what to do, and therefore someone else is going to accept responsibility for them. Someone who will accept responsibility for the ways that they live their lives and the choices they make. Those of individuals who always want to say, well, what do you think? When things don't turn out the way that they hope, they have someone else they can blame. That's their plan, to blame someone else. Accepting responsibility for one's life is not a popular concept in our society because we live in a culture that embraces a concept called political correctness. This basically says none of your problems are your fault. Everything bad in your life is someone else's fault. Blame the environment. Blame the educator. Blame your parents. Blame your pastor. Blame anyone else, but it's not your fault. If you get into an accident, it's never your fault. If you spill hot coffee on yourself, sue McDonald's. It's their fault. It's always someone else's fault. We will never be a success in life, and we will never make our lives count if we have the attitude that it's someone else's fault. We must accept the responsibility for our own lives. Galatians 6 and 5 says each person must be responsible for himself. Now, if you prefer the King James Version, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. And here's the truth of that scripture. I'm responsible for my own life, whether I like it or not. All of us here this face two kinds of circumstances. Those circumstances that we have no control over. None of us here knows what we're going to face this upcoming year. There are certain things that are going to happen regardless of what you do or how you plan your year. That's not an excuse for not being prepared or having a plan. Some of the things that we have no control over. We have no control over the weather, the economy, the companies that we work for, the retirement pensions we receive, or the words or actions of others. We have no control over that. And then there are some circumstances that we face as a result of our own choices, actions, or lack of actions. I've known people who've had financial problems because they quit their jobs and they didn't have another job to go to. And the reason why they quit their job was because they didn't like it or someone had made them mad. Then when things got tight, money and food was low, these people blamed their families, the church, or someone in the church because their family, the church, or someone in the church refused to accept the responsibility for the decisions and actions that they had made. What they really wanted was someone to accept responsibility for their lives and bail them out of trouble. There are people that are like that. Now, I'm not talking about someone who, through no fault of his or her own, fell on hard times. I'm talking about someone who did something without considering the consequences of their actions and how these actions would affect others around them. There are those individuals who, because of the choices they've made, that can't seem to hold down a job. But they're taking no action to make sure that they will have a job. They're not going to school. They're not getting any certification. They're just existing. And then there's that other thing. Because while we may not be in control of all the circumstances that we will face in this upcoming year, we do have control of how we act and respond to them. Now, we need to understand that there are three kinds of people in life. There are the accusers, there are the excusers, and there are the choosers. Now, those accusers, they're the ones that always blame someone else for their problems. Their favorite phrase is, "It's not my fault." It's never my fault. Someone else's fault. They are the accusers. We've moved from the accuser to the excusers. I'm sorry. Excusers are people who always have an excuse for not making a decision or doing something. There's always a reason why they can't make the most out of getting the most out of the year. In the long run, they end up being the loser. Now, I've discovered for myself that whenever I want to procrastinate on something, any excuse will do. I can think of a million excuses not to do something. I'm learning. The Bible says that a lazy man is full of excuses. And then there are the choosers. They say, "I choose to accept responsibility for my own life, goals, and happiness. I'm not dependent on someone else. I choose the direction of my life. I'm not depending upon the crowd. If we do this, then we're going to be ready. We're already going to have a jump on 2018. Key number B, believe I can change. Stop saying that I can't and start saying I can. The person that believes that they can change with the help of God will change. Philippians 4 and 13 tells us that there is nothing I cannot master with the help of Christ who gives me strength. Do you really believe that verse? There's nothing I can't master. That means that there's nothing that occurs in the next 365 days. No problem, no situation, no circumstance, no hassle that I can't not handle, that I cannot manage, that I am not competent to handle with the strength and help of God." Many people never succeed in life because they believed that they can't change. They never enjoy life because, excuse me, to them, life is just one big failure after another. They face this new year with regret, rather than the joy of knowing that God has given them, excuse me, the opportunity to make a difference in their lives with the help of Jesus Christ. Now, you're not going to believe this, but I have actually discovered why there are so many New Year's parties where people get so drunk they can't even see straight. Here's what I believe. They get drunk to forget the past year and because they are afraid to face the new year. With the help and grace of God, we can overcome the past and face the future. We can handle our life for this upcoming year. I believe and I know that we can change what we've done last year, not on our own power, but with the power that Jesus Christ gives us. God called a man named Moses. He said, I want to use you to save a nation. And Moses said, who, me? I got kicked out of Egypt because I killed a guy. I'm a murderer. And I'm out here feeding sheep. And on top of that, I stutter. I'm slow of speech. And you want me to be a spokesman for the nation? And God said, yes, I'm going to use you. Then God called another man, a man named Gideon. When the nation of Israel was being ran over by the enemy. And he says, Gideon, I'm going to use you to save the country. And Gideon said, me? I'm the youngest kid in the poorest family in the smallest tribe in the nation. And God said, yes, Gideon, I'm going to use you. Beloved, God can use me, God can use you, God can use whomever he chooses. The good news is that God wants to use us. But first, we must accept responsibility for our own lives. And second, we must believe that we can change, that God can empower change if we trust in him. Let's look at please see. Clarify what you really want. You have to decide what's important and what's not important. God has given each of us an incredible gift called the freedom to choose, the freedom of choice. It's one of the ways that we're different from the animals. We are free to choose between good and evil. We have the freedom to choose what we want in life. The only way we can clarify what we really want is just to decide what's important and what's not. And that clarity will come from that four-letter word, fast. Maybe some of us have never done that. Maybe some of us have decided what was really important to us and what besides what will make us rethink what will make us happy. But we have to ask ourselves, what really counts? We can't do what's important until we clarify what's important. Otherwise, we're going to be pushed around by the pressures of life doing this and that until all of a sudden the 2018 is over and we're saying, where did the year go? Our values determine our vision. Our desires determine our direction. And our roles determine our goals. We need to take the time to find out the direction that God wants us to move in our individual lives and in the lives of our churches. You might be saying that, well, I don't really need a plan. I'm just going to run at it and see what happens. You're going to need a plan. Fast because you need a plan. Fast because there is a plan. Make a list of the things that you're fasting for. Make a list of the things that you would like to see God accomplish in your congregation and in your life. Make a list of what you value and make that your prayer list. Now here's the thing with Gideon. When the people of Israel faced adversity and they were on the brink of being conquered, Gideon fell to his knees and asked God, why is this happening? We're your people. This is not supposed to be occurring. We're supposed to be victorious. Now, before you say what a great man he was young, but he was a great man. He knew that the first thing he had to do was pray. Remember what that answer that God gave him. He said something to Gideon. He said, get up off your knees. Why are you asking me this? I told you that if there was sin here, this is what was going to be resolved. I've already told you what was going to happen. Get up. There's sin in the camp. Get rid of that. There are times when action is required because we know what God requires of us. our prayers this year will be that we make a plan, should be that we make a plan of action that will help us accomplish our goals. And then watch God do miracles in our lives. Clarify what you really want. You have to make a decision, not just what is good and what's bad. That many times is crystal clear, but we have to be able to make the decision between what is good and what is better, between what is better and what is best. There's some things that we can do, but not all of them will be beneficial. Some things aren't necessarily wrong, it's just that they're not necessary. And you don't have time, none of us have time to do everything. We need to clarify the two or three things that we have to get done this year. So what are the things that are really important? You having trouble making that list or envisioning that list in your head? I'm going to give you two or three things that need to be on top of that list, and then you can add another. Number one, our relationship with God needs to be number one. What are you going to do this year to strengthen and improve your relationship with God? What are you going to do to become more intimate with Him? You need to make your relationship with God your top priority. Second one to put on your list, your relationship with your family. What are you going to do to build a stronger and better relationship with your family? What are you going to change about yourself that will accomplish this? Not what mom or dad, brother, sister, aunt or uncle, grandparents or any of that. What are you going to change about yourself that will help you accomplish this? And then third, your relationship with your church and your church family. What are you willing to do to improve the quality of your church? How involved are you willing to be to help your church accomplish the commission that God has given it? How committed are you to going to be in your attendance and support of your church? Clarify what's important. That fourth key and the last key, key number D, or letter D, do it now. Don't wait to begin. These three little words can change your life. Do it now. If we wait for the right situation or the right kind of circumstances, we will miss out on life altogether. There will never be an ideal set of circumstances to start out on. To make the most of 2018 and to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish, start now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Do it now. Ecclesiastes 11:4 tells us, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. We always say when things settle down or when things get better. The problem is that things may never settle down or get any better. That's called life. But if you're using that for an excuse, when things settle down and get better, I'm going to start having quiet time and read my Bible every day, you're never going to do it. Beloved, you learn to read your Bible and pray when things are unsettled and not so good. To say, when things are settled down, I'm going to spend more time with my grandkids, with my kids, with my family, with the church. The kids will be gone, the grandkids will be gone, and the family will be just us two. There's never that perfect time. Do it now. So what kind of person will you be in 2018? Will you be an accuser, an excuser, or a chooser? Will you choose to make the most of 2018? Will you accept the responsibility for your life? Will you believe you can change? Will you clarify what you want in your life and in your church life and what's important to you? When will you start? Will your relationship with God be on the top of your priority list? Will your family and the church be at the top of that list, underneath God, that is? The choice is yours. What will 2018 be? It's a better life facing us in 2018? How are you going to live it? How are you going to make it through? It can be done simply because of who he is and because of who he wants you to be. This has been Pastor Kareem. I'm with you on the Living Faith Show, talking about a better life in facing 2018. Join me again next time, and we'll explore the Word of God again. Until we meet again, may God bless you and keep living saved. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep living safe.